"How the Most Dangerous Place on Earth Got Safer" was the headline over the lead article in the New York Times Week in Review, August 11th, with a teaser reading, "Programs funded by the United States are helping transform Honduras. Who says American power is dead?" Well, the piece never gets really around to explaining how Honduras became the most dangerous place on Earth. That's American power, too. The Times' Sonia Nazario reported a remarkable reduction in violence in Honduras, much of it thanks to programs funded by the United States that have helped community leaders tackle crime. She cited U.S.-funded anti-violence programs in a neighborhood of the city San Pedro Sula. Quote, "The United States has provided local leaders with audio speakers for events, tools to clear 10 abandoned soccer fields that had become dumping grounds for bodies, notebooks and school uniforms, and funding to install streetlights and trash cans," close quote. This is evidence that smart investments in Honduras are succeeding, which is a striking rebuke to the rising isolationists in American politics, who seem to have lost their faith in American power. That's the Times' poorly veiled effort to show that the piece is a swipe at Donald Trump, except it's also an insult to anybody with a memory. In the early 2000s, the murder rate in Honduras fluctuated between 44 and 61 per 100,000. That's very high by global standards, but it was similar to rates in neighboring El Salvador and Guatemala. And it's not coincidental that all three countries were dominated by violent, U.S.-backed right-wing governments in the 1980s. That's historical context that this op-ed entirely omits. Then, in June of 2009, Honduras' left-leaning president Manuel Zelaya was overthrown in a military coup, kidnapped, and flown out of the country via the joint U.S.-Honduran military base at Palmarola. Well, the U.S. is supposed to cut off aid to a country that has a military coup, and there is no doubt that Zelaya's ouster constituted an illegal and unconstitutional coup, according to a secret report sent by the U.S. ambassador to Honduras in 2009, later exposed by WikiLeaks. But the U.S. continued most aid to Honduras, carefully avoiding the magic words military coup that would have necessitated withdrawing support from the regime. In her memoir, Hard Choices, Hillary Clinton recalled how, as Secretary of State, she worked behind the scenes to legitimate the new regime. In the days following the coup, Clinton wrote, quote, "I spoke with my counterparts around the hemisphere, including Secretary Espinosa in Mexico. We strategized on a plan to restore order in Honduras and ensure that free and fair elections could be held quickly and legitimately, which would render the question of Zelaya moot," close quote. With a corrupt, drug-linked regime in place, thanks in large part to U.S. intervention, murder in Honduras soared, rising to 91.4 in 2001. That's fully 50% above the pre-coup level. Well, many of those murders involved criminal gangs, but much of the post-coup violence was political, with resuscitated death squads targeting journalists, opposition figures, labor activists, and environmentalists, of whom indigenous leader Berta Cáceres was only the most famous. At one point, it seemed that the Times was going to acknowledge the U.S. role in creating the problems it gives American power credit for ameliorating. Quote, "We are also repairing harms the United States inflicted," close quote, Nazario writes. But the explanation was strangely circumscribed. The harms were, quote, "first by deporting tens of thousands of gangsters to Honduras over the past two decades, a decision that fueled much of the recent mayhem, and second by our continuing demand for drugs, which are shipped from Colombia and Venezuela through Honduras," close quote. So, no mention of the U.S. supporting the Honduran coup or the political murders of the U.S.-backed regime. About three-quarters of the way through, we do get this, quote, "It will take much more than this project to change the reputation of the United States in this part of the world, where we are famous for exploiting workers and resources and helping to keep despots in power," close quote. But is that the U.S.'s reputation or its history? And surely it's relevant that some of the despots the U.S. helped keep in power were in the country that Nazario is reporting from, and that this led directly to the problem she's reporting about. Well, the New York Times has covered much of this history in an op-ed by Professor Dana Frank 4 years ago, but now that information appears to be down the memory hole, leaving the paper free to tout donations of trash cans and school uniforms as an advertisement for American power. You're listening to Counterspin, brought to you each week by the Media Watch Group Fair.